Thank you very much. Well, it's lovely to be here with you this morning, and greetings from Woodlands Church. If I've not met you before, say my name's Tim. I'm one of the leaders at Woodlands, and it's great to have New Life Church as one of our associate churches around the Greater Bristol region. There's probably about a dozen, 15 churches that we have friendship links with. So it's great to, on Thursday, Richard and a few other leaders can be met together with a bit of just thinking about what's church like, how we're going to see the vision of reaching Greater Bristol with the love and power of God together. So it's lovely to be with you here. Since I was last here, I've turned 60. So I've entered a kind of... And so Richard asked, said, I can speak on anything. So I'm going to talk on something called internal and external frontiers. Again, I love these words of Paul. When Paul, I'm not sure if he was 60 when he wrote these words, but he was kind of reflecting on his life. And he said this in 2 Timothy 4, for I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. And these are the words, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And those three things, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. And I suppose when we start off as a Christian, we kind of feel, oh yeah, we're passionate about who Jesus is, what he's done. We realise that there's a kind of a battle, kind of when we became a Christian, maybe we first of all thought it was kind of just the good things we're going to receive, but we realise after a while we're in a battle. There's a battle of good and evil. Actually, there's a battle for our souls and our well-being. And we know there's a fight that we need to fight, and we need to know there's a race. There's something set before each one of us, a race that God's called us to run with determination. And there's something about keeping through all that, keeping faith. And a number of years ago, I was thinking about how does that work out? How do we live life well? And these two things, internal and external frontiers, were triggered by kind of a childhood memory of Western films. I don't know if any of you are old enough to Saturday afternoon, black and white telly, of if it was raining outside and you couldn't be building dens or going for a bike ride, you might sit down and watch a Western. And in the kind of those days, kind of it was this idea that kind of from the West Coast, from the East Coast through to the West Coast, kind of civilization was advancing. Now we might call it ethnic cleansing. But in those days, there was this idea that there was kind of civilization, and then there was the frontier, and kind of this side there was civilization, and that side was the Wild West. And what the line that kind of was down between civilization and the Wild West was called the frontier. And in some ways, I just find that just a really helpful illustration of sometimes how are we going to live our lives well. And probably there's frontiers that are external. There's certain stuff I feel comfortable with. There's certain things that are kind of are civilized within my spiritual experience that I'm comfortable with and used to. But actually, there's some things that I've never tried. There's some things that I've never experienced. There's some things that I kind of, maybe I'm slightly fearful to give it a go because, and so we retreat back into what we know, civilization, the comfort. Actually, similarly, internally, there's things where we've let God certain depth into our lives, but we know that, there's some areas, maybe that we're not so keen for God to venture. It's a bit wild inside here, and there's a frontier. And I think for me, these frontiers, we all have frontiers of experience God in our lives and at work through our lives. And actually, I think like Paul, running the race, fighting the fight, keeping the faith. Actually, the challenge for us all, are we lifelong learners? Are we pushing ourselves so that there's always more in the purposes of God in our lives? Actually, there's always more going deep into who we are as a person to welcome God. And so this morning, I just want to kind of take a little look at for me, what that's looked like, and maybe for you, even for this week, for this month, this year. Actually, what's God, maybe, where's a frontier for you from civilization to the wild externally, and what is civilization and wild internally? So here's a little list of things that I would think are some of the kind of external frontiers. I mean, if you were to think about something like praying, first of all, I don't know if you can remember when you kind of first became a Christian, and praying was something maybe you just did in your head, kind of you were in awareness there was a God, and you'd formulate some prayers. Quite often, maybe they were help prayers or kind of. But the kind of the moment came where maybe somebody said, "Why don't you try praying out loud?" And it kind of felt like the Wild West. It kind of felt like there's a frontier. I'm very happy to pray in my head to God, but if I was to actually pray out loud, what if I got it wrong? What if the words that I said weren't quite the right words to say? What if my theology and doctrine didn't quite match up to those people who were listening to me? Actually, I could feel slightly awkward or embarrassed. So tell you what, I'll keep within the civilization of my own prayer life in my own head. But actually, there's something about stepping out and praying with other people, and they hear your prayer and they can go, amen. And you can hear their prayer and you can go, amen. Actually, there's something about faith that is generated. And actually, you could be missing out on some good things of God because you're slightly frightened, slightly scared. And in some ways, if you get it wrong, it's no big deal because God knows your heart. I can remember somebody, I don't know if ever you remember someone called Tony Campolo, who used to come from the States, but he told the story about how he went to preach at this this church in the States. And there was a lady who'd become a Christian recently from a very downtown, urban, poor part of the city. And she was a salt of the earth kind of woman. And during the service, a bit like you have here, there was a chance for open prayer. And she prayed this prayer and actually, it contained a few swear words. And actually, it was the street language that was part of her life. And after the service, one elderly gentleman approached her and said, "Madam, do you know how many times you used inappropriate language in your prayer? And you know, kind of, you didn't actually quite say things to how they, you didn't treat English how it should be spoken." And she just looked at him and said, "Well, actually, I wasn't talking to you anyway." And there's the idea that actually prayer, if it's genuine, it's genuine you to God. And actually, in the end of the day, what if people hear it and it's wrong? Actually, but we can be fearful. Actually, maybe we're happy to pray with our Christian friends. But the thought of praying out loud with a non-Christian friend, aha, that's slightly scary. I know for some people, maybe they go and you've heard about them going praying on the streets. You've heard that sort of, and people would go and they would offer prayer on the streets. And you might think, there's no way I would do that. Because but to be there offering prayer, actually for some people, it's like a bold move. Actually, for some people who are used to praying for people on the streets, again, the challenge may be praying for somebody in your office or your workplace, because if you pray for somebody on the street, the likelihood is you may never see them again. So if the prayer works or not, in some ways you've just done your bit and you leave. But actually, if you pray for somebody who works in your office and the prayer doesn't, in inverted commas, work, there's a slight challenge there. Oh, I tell you what, I won't offer to pray for them. And we step back from something maybe God's, because it's wild, it's unknown, it's uncertain. So let's stay within the familiarity of praying on a Sunday, praying in our home group, praying with our prayer trip and Christian friends. But sometimes, actually, there's something so amazing about having the opportunity to pray for people who are in need. Pray for people who are in trouble. And of course, friendship matters, and of course, sometimes finances help. But actually, in the end of the day, it is Jesus who is the answer. Let's not be afraid to try out the Wild West of prayer. I suppose there's other things like witnessing. Witnessing to the goodness of God, witnessing to what Jesus has done. And again, for witnessing within a home group or on a Sunday, actually witnessing to, actually God has answered this prayer, God spoke to me in this Bible verse, God has done this, I found peace when I was anxious. Actually, we might be happy to witness to our Christian friends. But I wonder if we ever contemplate sharing our good news stories again within the workplace. What did you do on Sunday? Oh, I did a bit of gardening. Rather than, do you know what? I went to church. And at church, we heard this and that. And God, it's a bit wild, isn't it? Let's stay within the comfort of talking about the garden. Actually, what about the chance to witness and to say to people, actually, I found Jesus. And in finding Jesus, there's a whole brand new kind of life. I think you could know that too. Why don't you come along to an Alpha course? Why don't you investigate church? Why don't we meet up and we'll read a bit of John's Gospel together? And oh, that's wild. What if they reject me? And we step back and we think, do you know what? I'll hope that they see how kind I am and how nice a person I am, and they'll come to Jesus. And God sometimes says, well, actually, there's a fight to be fought, there's a race to be run, but do we stay within this civilization of our experience, or do we step out beyond that frontier into the Wild West? I wonder about spiritual gifts. Again, there may be people within the church, and you look at them and you think, wow, they use the spiritual gifts. They prophesy or they pray for healing, whatever. But I'm not quite sure if that's me. I like to keep things kind of manageable. I love Bible studies and I love to understand God the Father. And I love to be kind of slightly in control, and that's my civilization. And what if I was to use one of the gifts of the Spirit? What if I got it wrong? What if I prayed and somebody didn't get healed? What if I said, I feel God saying this and he wasn't saying it? That's a bit too wild for me. I'll stay within the civilization of my own experience. And God says, actually, the world is dying to see the power of the risen Lord Jesus. Actually, the gifts of the Spirit are there not to make you look good, but to make Jesus look good, to make his kingdom look good. And actually, why do you stay within the comfort of normality when the slightly wild sense of the Holy Spirit working in your life, the gift of the Spirit, maybe give it a chance to say, God, yeah, I will ask for a word of knowledge going into work. I will pray for that situation where I know there's conflict. Actually, God, could you give me a word of wisdom that could help bring peace to that? And again, there's spiritual gifts to help you, but we can just retreat back into our, let's keep our head down, let's not be noticed. Let's keep within the civilization that we know. I don't know about leadership. I know since the pandemic and actually people's resilience level's been low, volunteering for things, actually leading stuff. I mean, within our church, people are just not kind of really up for that kind of. But actually, there's something about taking what we've known and helping other people to find that too. And whether it's leading one person, maybe mentoring a new Christian, whether it's leading a prayer trip, or leading a small group, helping to lead with worship, or kind of helping to lead an outreach project. Actually, I think for some of us, we think, well, I'll leave that to other people. But actually, there's so much that God wants to see happen. He probably needs each one of us. You might say, well, I'm not classically a leader. Actually, but each one of us can do a little bit of something, can help one other person. And maybe we'd think, well, no, I'll stick within my little world. And occasionally, I might do this and that, but I'm not going to do that. I know for me, one of my big external frontiers was public speaking. As a teenager, I was dyslexic, and I probably still am. I don't know. I find reading hard, and sometimes when you read kind of from a book, the words seem to jump around the page slightly, and so you're trying to kind of second guess what the sentence is going to say, and as you try and second guess what the sentence is going to say, sometimes you get the words wrong. And so at school, whenever there was that embarrassing moment where everyone had a textbook and it was reading around the class, and they would come to the point where the teacher would say, next paragraph, Dobson, can you read that? And I'd kind of think, no. And I'd start reading and I'd stumble over my words and I'd say the wrong things. I'd turn bright red. I'm sure I could hear people giggling in the kind of, and it was just trauma time. So kind of going through my teenage years, I kind of felt, you know what, I'm not going to put myself out there kind of in front of people. It was like a real frontier, an external frontier. I'm going to keep within. I can talk to one or two people, that's fine. I can pass to people, I can kind of run a little discussion, kind of. But actually, when it comes to doing anything in public, or there's no way I'm going anywhere near that. And I felt kind of God really challenged me when I used to live in Norfolk on the Norfolk Broads, and I came to Bristol to university, and it was this big kind of new experience. In that new experience, I generally wanted God to be with me. I generally wanted God to help me. And one of the things I felt God challenged me with was around this. And he said, and through 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, he said this, chapter 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, God hasn't given you a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. And I really felt God said to me, actually, that experience from your dyslexia or whatever, actually, I didn't give you a spirit of timidity. I didn't give you a spirit of fear. Actually, that's come from somewhere else, either from your internals, or maybe it's the enemy has jumped on the back of something and made you fearful. And I really kind of did a little journey with God and said, God, actually, yeah, God, thank you that you haven't kind of, I'm going to be brave and I'm going to be bold and take the word and I'm going to put it into practice. And at the end of that week, there was a phone call from the person who led the university Christian Union, to say on the Saturday night they had a Christian Union meeting. There's probably about 300 students there. And they said, oh, Tim, would you read the Bible passage for us? And again, my old life kind of kicks back in and said, no, no way, I don't do reading, bye, phone down. And I thought, oh no, God, you were saying to me that you hadn't given me a spirit of fear and timidity, and God, I've let you down. And then I prayed this prayer, that, and I'm sure some of you have prayed it and regretted it. God, I'm sorry I've let you down, I'll never do it again. And well, probably within half an hour, literally within half an hour, I had another phone call. And while I was a student, I went to Christchurch Clifton, and it was the curate there saying, Tim, I wonder if you could do the Bible reading for us, read at the evening service at Christchurch. And in those days, there's about 700 people there. And I just thought, oh no, I can't say no. So I very bravely said, yes, I will do the reading at, what's the passage? And it was Pentecost Sunday, so it was Acts chapter 2. And if you know Acts chapter 2, there were people there from Pamphylia, Phrygia, Cappadocia. I mean, all these horrible, horrible words. But I said, no, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, a spirit of love and power and self-control. So the evening service came, the reading was announced. I went up to this big brass eagle that was at the front of the church, 700 people. I started reading it. And I made a total hash. My words were all over the place. I turned bright red. I wandered back to my pew and I sat there. And I felt God say, Tim, well done. Well done. And at that moment, I felt there was a breakthrough. It's like I stepped up to that frontier with all the fear and the uncertainty. And so I stepped forward. And in stepping forward, actually something broke. Something changed. I fought the fight. I was running the race. I was trying to keep the faith. And something changed. And I would say to you, is there any kind of frontier that you're facing at the moment? Anything where you know that you're keeping within the civilization of your own experience, but maybe, just maybe, there's a fight. Maybe there's a race. Maybe there's faith to be expressed. Actually, maybe for you, there's something that God's saying to you. Actually, if I had hands and feet, if I had a mouth, if I had a body in that situation, it would be you. And you could step from the comfort of your civilized understanding and maybe be brave enough and bold enough to stand, to move, to take a step. And whether it's those things or whether it's kind of, the chance to face a certain, actually, for each one of us, there may be some external things. Now, I don't want to try and put you on a guilt trip at all, because I know for some of you that there's the pressures of life already, but actually I just want to give you just a little moment of quiet and just for you to reflect. Actually, God, is there a space where I know that I'm intentionally keeping in this civilized place because I know it's the safest place? Is there anything that I, maybe even this week, I could step up to that frontier, I could face the fear, and I could still do it? Is there a space, maybe with one of these things of praying, of witnessing, using spiritual gifts, of leading something somewhere, of speaking, of serving? Actually, is there somewhere that you think maybe God could be this week challenging you to say, come on, be brave? I'll just give it a moment. God, I just pray that, thank you for each person here. Thank you that you have dreams and longings and hopes for them, that to see this world in which we live change. Even now, Lord, if there's something that they know that they need some boldness and bravery to step forward, will you help them, I pray? Okay, similarly, I think there's internal frontiers. On the inside of us, there's civilization and there's the Wild West. Actually, inside of us, there's spaces where we've let God touch the inside of who we are. Actually, maybe we know there's spaces inside us where we've not let God touch who we are. And again, sometimes it's easier to live within the civilization of where God has been rather than let God touching areas of our lives where he hasn't been. I think there's areas like lordship. Maybe we would say that Jesus is Lord. Well, you can be Lord of this, this, and this, but actually you can't be Lord of my wallet. You can't be Lord of my relationships. You can't be Lord of my career choices. my dreams. And we allow God to be Lord of certain parts of our lives. Maybe we're not allowing Jesus to be the Lord of all of our lives. I remember a Sunday school teacher once said that if Jesus isn't Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Actually, because if you're choosing what he can be Lord of, actually, you're still Lord. Is he Lord of everything? Maybe that's an internal kind of frontier. Well, but if I give you that Jesus, what's going to happen? Again, it feels fearful or uncertain. It feels, well, I'll keep just within the parts that I know you can work. I think fear, just internal fear sometimes, is just a real barrier that fear and anxiety kind of, it just seems to at times like a controlling thing that we can't trust God, we can't depend on God. It's like there's a little kind of battle line that's drawn where our anxious thoughts run away with themselves rather than our conscious depending on who God is and God's word. I think fantasy and imagination is just, and again, for some people, it's just the Wild West, isn't it? Kind of how their thought life goes. And actually, your thought life is where things start. I mean, actions don't just happen. Someone doesn't kind of wake up one morning and think, do you know what, I think I might have an affair. I think I might commit adultery. Actually, no, there's a whole thought life, imagination. No one thinks, well, I'm going to act sexually inappropriately with this person today. Actually, there's a whole kind of stuff that's been going on in their minds beforehand. Actually, and are you letting Jesus touch your fantasy life? The things that you daydream and dream about, actually your imagination, actually things that you fuel your imagination, what you watch on the internet or the television, what you read, kind of, are we letting Jesus touch our whole imagination, our whole fantasy life? There's some real kind of challenges there, because if we don't, I think we can get into trouble. But sometimes we say, actually, I'm not sure I want you to go there. I'm not sure, come on, somehow it provides me with a bit of safety, control, comfort, something. Jesus, don't mess with me. And yet it's he wants to tame the Wild West of our imagination. I know sometimes there's past hurts. There's things that people have said to you or done to you, things that have happened to you, and actually have deeply hurt you. And it's like a frontier. Unless you find healing, unless you find wholeness, hurt people hurt people. Actually, that's the reality, isn't it? That if you're a hurt person, you'll end up unintentionally hurting people. Actually, unless you let this frontier of past hurt be healed, forgiven, resolved, actually, it's the Wild West. It's Father's Day today, and I had a dad who was a good dad. Age three, he decided he was called to be an Anglican vicar. We lived in Wiltshire, just south of Trowbridge, and in those days, to train to be Anglican vicar, he came to Bristol, to what was called Clifton College, now Trinity College. And in those days, you had to, quite a monastic experience. So we were left at home, and Dad was studying here full time, living here. And so, between the age of three and four, we just saw him on Saturdays and in the school holidays. That was all. So kind of during the week, kind of we wouldn't see him. We saw him 2 hours on Saturday. Mum reckoned it was just enough time to really upset us before we had to go back home, and it was just her. And when he started being a curate and vicar, he so loved God and was so keen to serve God well that he would spend most of his waking time doing church stuff. He'd be out at meetings and pastoral cares, and occasionally Mum would kind of drop him a little message and just say, we're in your parish too, can we have a visit? Because he was absent. Now, it wasn't as though he was having an affair or he'd left and abandoned us. It was God. And so again, coming through my teenage years, there was this real sense of, my friends had dads around. When their bike had a puncture, their dad helped them fix it. Mine's still in the garage. Still a flat tire. I needed to do something about that. And I realized that, again, just before I came to university, actually there was an internal hurt that unless I somehow let God touch that, it was going to affect my whole life. And so before I came to university, again, went on a Bible camp, and by that time, Dad had realized maybe the slight error of his ways, and And so I asked them, both my mum and dad, to pray for me and say, actually, we just really pray for God's inner healing here. I need to find some breakthrough. And they prayed. And again, just wonderfully feeling that God, just ministered to the inner part of me. My mum had this picture of this kind of crazy paving footpath going down this garden and those big slabs of stone that were missing. And like in my childhood, my dad was missing. And as we were praying, stones appeared in the spaces. And God was saying, but I was there, and I was there, and I was there, and I was there. And somehow just to find that inner healing that God brought into my life. And I know that I needed to find that breakthrough. I think for many people there's issues around forgiveness, and I know forgiveness is probably one of the hardest things that you ever have to do in your life, because people do things to hurt you, and it's unjust, and it's mean, and they've never said sorry. And forgiveness is not saying it doesn't matter, or kind of it's generally saying, I'm going to let you off the hook. I'm not going to hold a grudge against you. It's not that the pain doesn't matter. It's not as though it's not had a dramatic influence on your life, but you've chosen to forgive. It's an internal frontier. Actually, if you don't face that, and maybe for some people you have to face that every day, it's not just a one-off experience. It's a life posture of forgiveness. It's an internal frontier. And you might say, but they don't deserve it. No, they don't, but you deserve it. You deserve to give them forgiveness because it brings you freedom. But it's an internal frontier. I think there's things around control, how we want to be controlling and manipulative, and kind of, again, we want to keep things safe. And again, I would just say that there's probably many things that, for each one of us, there's the Wild West in our lives. And are we letting God push those frontiers to stand up to things that we know are going to be fearful, we know they're going to be hard, but actually we just need the bravery and the courage to say, Jesus, please will you take me there? Just before we have a chance to pray, I just think that those two things are linked. The external breakthrough of what God does through our lives and the internal breakthrough are linked. Actually, when we go deeper in with God, we find that we go further out with God. Deeper in, further out. Actually, that's what I've found in my life. The deeper I let God in here, the further he can entrust me to serve him out there. Here's just a couple of Bible verses, that Bible stories. We've got some good news and bad news. Okay, so we'll start with the good news. So the good news, here's Peter. Peter is somebody who, before Jesus goes to his death, Jesus says that his disciples are going to desert him. And Peter makes this brash comment. He says, yep, these guys, I know them, they'll desert you. I'll never desert you. I'll never leave you, Jesus. And Jesus knows the truth. And he says, Peter, even before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, no, I won't. No, I won't. And, you know, the story of how he's there around a charcoal fire, keeping warm while Jesus is being tried. And one by one person comes up and says, oh, were you with Jesus? No, I wasn't. Actually, your accent sounds like Galilee. That's where Jesus came from. Are you sure? No, I don't know him. And a little girl comes up and says, kind of, I'm sure you were with him. I don't even know the man. And the cock crows. And that's internal frontier of, I promised Jesus so much, and I've delivered so little. And even though he sees the cross, and even though on Easter Sunday he sees the resurrection, actually, there's something about the life of Peter that he knows that even though this has happened, inside he promised Jesus so much, and yet he delivered so little. And Jesus knows that even before the day of Pentecost comes, he knows that actually I need to challenge this internal frontier, Peter, because if you don't break through here, even when the Holy Spirit comes on, you're going to have a dysfunctional ministry. And so very bravely, Jesus confronts Peter. And you know it's early in the morning. Peter's out fishing. Actually, maybe it's early in the morning, maybe on the shore, there's a cockerel in a farmyard crowing. And just that sound just kind of somehow echoes and taunts Peter. They see someone on the shore and they say, cast your net over on the other side. And they do, and there's this fish. It must be Jesus. He goes onto the beach. And what's Jesus done? Well, he's got a little charcoal fire. Again, it was around the charcoal fire on the day that Jesus was tried. I was around a charcoal fire when I denied Jesus. And Jesus is he's inviting me to stand next to a charcoal fire again. And you think, just that cock crowing, that charcoal fire, Jesus, I promise you so much, and yet I deliver so little. The internal frontier. And what's Jesus say? When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And I answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, care for my sheep. A third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Do you notice in that conversation there's internal, external? Do you love me? Yes, you love me. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Care for my lambs. Do you love me? Oh, groan. There is something's breaking, something's changing, something's happening. Jesus, you know all things. Actually, you know in my heart of hearts, I did fail 3 times. You're challenging me 3 times, but you know that I love you. There's this commission again, go and feed my sheep. And again, I think, that why do we want Jesus to touch us on the inside? He touches on the inside so that we do something on the outside. When we break through on the inside, we break through on the outside. Actually, it was similar with Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, actually, he's prophesying. It's all, woe to you, woe to you, woe to you, woe to you, the first 5 chapters. And then in chapter 6, he meets the Lord. And he says, woe to me. Suddenly, it's all this over here. And suddenly, it's woe to me. I am ruined. And then he doesn't just say, I'm a sinful person. When he encounters the presence of God, he knows what his internal frontier is. It's not that he's got a bad thought life. It's not that he doesn't use his money well. He says, I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Actually, he knows straight away what his internal frontier is. He says something about his words maybe were critical. Where, as he was dishing it all out here, maybe his heart had become resentful and his words had become... And he knows straight away there's an internal frontier. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hands that he's taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and he says, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for. A breakthrough on that internal frontier. Straight away, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for me? And I said, here I am, send me. Internal breakthrough, forgiveness, wholeness, acknowledgement of sin. External, send me, I will speak. And he speaks some of the most amazing prophecies about the life of Jesus. It's good news. If you let Jesus deeper in, he can trust you to go further out. Actually, if you don't let him deeper in, actually, it's bad news. I mean, I don't know what you think about Judas. Actually, it's an interesting story, isn't it, Judas? He's one of the 12 chosen by Jesus to be one of the 12. As he sends them out 2 by 2 to cast out demons and heal the sick, someone's paired up with Judas. They go on a mission. Here's Judas, and he gets to see God with skin on. God in human form. He gets to see God in the form of Jesus. And yet, somehow, even in seeing Jesus, he still loves money. John, who's one of the followers, says this about when the woman breaks the perfume over Jesus' feet. He complains, and he says, one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. And then John says this, in brackets, he didn't say it's because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Sorry? Here's Jesus, and you want a few extra pounds in your pocket. What kind of a hold's that got on you, Judas, that somehow you want money rather than Jesus? Until it comes to the point, 30 pieces of silver, Jesus. Jesus, 30 pieces of silver. I'll take the 30 pieces of silver. He didn't let Jesus touch something in the heart. His love of money was an internal frontier, and somehow Judas didn't let God in human form before his very eyes touched that, and at the end of the day it became his downfall. Actually, if you're aware that there's internal frontiers in your life, if you don't let Jesus in, it could be your downfall. I mean, Ananias and Sapphira, well, I've run out of time, so I won't, but if you know the story, they want a bit of celebrity. Here's a guy called Joseph. He's sold some property, he's given it to the apostles, he gets the nickname Barnabas, son of encouragement. He gets a little bit of celebrity, minor Christian celebrity, here's Barnabas. Ananias and Sapphira think, do you know what? I wouldn't mind a bit of celebrity, but I don't want to pay the whole price. We've got a field, we'll sell it, we'll keep some of the money for ourselves, and we'll give the rest of the money to the apostles. And Peter is kind of outraged. He says, when it was yours, you could have kept it. When you sold it, the money was still yours. Why did you want to try and deceive the Holy Spirit? And what happens is, drop down dead. The first being slain in the spirit, literally, there they were, dead on the floor. They didn't let Jesus touch that sense of wanting significance, popularity, status. They wanted that rather than Jesus, than the work of the Spirit. And they paid the price. And unfortunately, history is littered, isn't it, with church leaders who've have not let Jesus deeper in. And whether it's an affair, whether it's financial stuff, whether it's craving power, whether it's spiritual abuse, and it's why? Because they didn't let Jesus deeper in. It's further in, further out. And I wonder, if, as we take a chance to pray now, as we finish our service, of whether there's hope and there's challenge. Actually, if you let Jesus deeper in, not only do you find for yourself there's breakthrough, forgiveness, wholeness, healing, actually there's a safety and a power to go further out. If you don't, if you're saying, well, no, I'm not feeling brave enough, secure enough to let Jesus touch that part of my life, I would just say, beware. Look out. It's not a safe place to be. Further in, deeper in, further out. Let's take a chance to pray. Lord, for each person here, thank you that you call them to fight the good fight. You call them to run the race set before them. You call them to keep the faith. And where we know that we can be fear averse, we don't want to step out and serve you externally, and we are fearful of letting you deeper in internally. But that is the place of true safety and true life and true vitality of faithfulness. Thank you, Paul himself chose that route and saw you at work in his life and through his life. Lord, where we need to be honest, where we need to be brave, actually standing on that frontier, it's always better when we're standing with another person. Well, I pray that even if there's a challenge this morning, either to be brave enough to do something externally, I pray that we just tell somebody. Actually, if we know that there's something internal that needs to change, again, I pray that we're brave enough to tell somebody, ask for their prayers, ask for their encouragement, ask for the power of God. We say, we welcome you. We welcome Jesus, deeper in. Take us further out. Amen.